Thanks, you guys, everyone. Welcome. We appreciate you being here. Today is Wednesday, January 24th, 2024. This is the City Council budget meeting for the City of South Jordan. My name is Dawn Ramsey. I serve as mayor of the City of South Jordan with this outstanding City Council seated next to me. We appreciate all of you. Thank you for being here and for your service. We also have our administrative staff here, and they are the ones that make us shine and always make us look good. We appreciate all of you. Thank you for all the work you do. We look forward to this conversation tonight. We're going to open tonight's meeting with an invocation by our Director of City Commerce, Mr. Brian Priest.
Our kind and gracious Father in heaven, we're thankful for the opportunity we have to meet here today and discuss these important things about the finances of this great city we love and work for and live in. And we're thankful for the abundance that we're blessed with. We ask thee to help us to know how to use those resources wisely and to do those things that are in the best interest of the residents and businesses of the city. And we say these things humbly in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mr. Priest. Okay, we are just going to launch right in and turn to our city manager, Justin Lewis, and say, take it away, fiscal year 24-25 budget, and Sunil and all of you. Here we go.
Great, thank you. I'm going to try to move fairly quickly so that you can go home early tonight and spend time with your families. So as you all recall, we started our budget process way back in August and September. That's when we actually start asking the department directors to start to put together their staffing needs and their staffing requests and putting together the justifications and all of those things. So they start to put all of that together. It gets submitted to our HR department, and that kind of starts the ball rolling. Then you'll remember that we had our first budget meeting with you back in November this year, where we verified that the strategic priorities, the vision for the city, the mission for the city, that all of that was still on track. And then if you remember, I went through a list of kind of the big ticket items, the big rocks that we needed to kind of get some direction on so that we knew which direction to start to put the budget together. And that evening we talked about the courts and whether or not we should keep that as a program of the city. We talked about an urban deer program. We talked about having a parking division. We talked about the Healthy South Jordan program. We talked about credit card convenience fees. We talked about the case management software. We talked about Fire Station 65. We talked about a public works building on the west side. We talked about increasing the cost of the water tank that we had. We talked about potential targets for a COLA. We talked about our strategies and had some discussion about tax increasing, tax strategies. We had discussions about a PD license plate reader program. So you remember, we talked about a lot of things that night. Based on that discussion that night, we took all of that back and went to work on, that was kind of like nailing down the first of the three tent stakes of putting this budget together. The staff went back and started to look at how all of that discussion affected the priorities and the direction of the city and the impacts that that would have on our people, our operations, and our capital improvement. Tonight I want to talk with you about where we're at on the personnel manpower side of the city. So traditionally I've had the, well, city manager before me would have the department heads come and give you presentations and make their case for why they needed their staff. I have worked them over pretty good over the last few months. They've had to make presentations in the staffing committee with Sunil and I and Teresa and Corinne. And I've worked them over pretty good about their requests and what's really needed. I've matched that up with what I've read in the employee survey, in my conversations, in my observations as I go around the city and visit with departments and people. And so what I want to do tonight is I'm gonna run through that list of what's been asked for. I'm going to give you my opinion and input as to whether or not I think it needs to be in the budget. Sunil and I have spent a tremendous amount of time, and kudos to him, he has spent weeks crawling through the numbers, telling me what we can afford, what we can't afford. We've argued back and forth about what that looks like. And so tonight, I'm going to give you my recommendations, and then you can give me your input, and then Once we get that all figured out, the next step will be to come back in our next budget meeting and talk about the capital improvement plans and what that looks like. And once that's finalized, we'll have the budget done. Our budget's about $67 million. Our cost for staffing is about $54 million, which equates to about 80% of our budget goes for people, which makes sense. We're a service-oriented entity. And so that's where a lot of funds go. The rest of that goes to the materials that we need to make the community great. That's the asphalt to fix the potholes and do all the other projects and build the infrastructure and put on the programs. So with that, there were about 29 asks for people this year across all of our departments, I think every department.
When you say 29 asks, are you talking 29 individual full-time people?
There was a couple of part-time positions in that ask. I can tell you right now that all of those positions are needed. But like when your kids ask you for stuff at Christmas, you can't do it, right?
Right.
So we've gone through and we've prioritized this list. We've vetted it with each other, and we know what we can afford, and we've prioritized that based on what you've told us you want us to accomplish. So with that, I'm going to go through the list and share with you what my recommendations are. The first position on the list that was asked for was an Associate Director of Administrative Services. That's the department that includes courts, it includes facilities, it includes information technology, our IT staff, it includes our communications team. And when I'm under pressure, I'm forgetting one now. There's something else there.
Risk management.
That would be the one I would forget.
Administrative what?
Administrative services. Well, I'm never going to live that down when I live.
There's a reason you're the director. It's good.
That is a little ironic, actually.
As you all know, I'm a former director in that department. I know how complex and how varied that is. That is not an easy department to manage. It's not the biggest department, but, you know, when your big department's all doing police or fire or public works and all moving in the same direction, it's a little easier than five departments that do very, very different things. I'm not recommending that we hire that position at this time. We've looked at that, and I think that we can make things work for a bit. We have a tremendous director there, and I think we can get by for a period of time without filling that position. So I'm not recommending that one tonight. In that department, we have the communications division. They have indicated a need for some additional help, which makes sense given the amount of public education and outreach and marketing that we do for many of our programs. So they've asked for a part-time intern. It's a few hours. I am recommending that we include that into our budget. And so that's been placed in there. Our police department, as you know, in a growing city, we try to keep up with the things that are happening there. We don't want to get too far behind. You've heard us talk about this in the past, of how many officers it takes to cover the city. This year, the initial request from the chief was for five people. That included two sergeants, two officers, and an animal control officer. In our department, with the growth that we're having, with the types of things, I feel very strongly that we need to hire the two police sergeants. As to the two officers, I think very much we need those two officers as well. But you'll remember that when we talked in November, we introduced the idea of the case management software. And so what I am recommending is that we only hire the two sergeants and the one officer, and then we use the funds that we probably would have used to hire that fourth officer, which will be less, to institute and implement the case management software. That's the software that basically allows you to do your reporting online. It saves us having to send an officer out, saves us having to buy a vehicle. It should be very, very helpful for us going forward. And then the fifth request there was for an animal control officer. Now, I want to give you a little background on this one. For the last couple of years, we have been partnered with Harriman City for some animal control services. They didn't have a facility, and so they were we were allowing them to use the capacity that we had in our facility, because remember, we built our facility to help us as we grew as a city. So we had some excess capacity. They've been using that. And in return, they've paid a fee to use that, by the way. But in return, their staffing and our staffing have been able to team up, and that's allowed our staff to be able to actually take a vacation day and not have to worry about being on call. And we can cover for each other. Harriman now has their facility where they can take their animals, and we've kind of separated that. We had a recent situation where we have been short in animal control due to an employee that's out for FMLA purposes. And I've actually moved an employee from our parks division in Public Works to help us cover things at the animal shelter for a couple of months. So we're short-staffed there. Even when that employee comes back, we need the staffing to really provide the services for our people and not burn out the couple of people that we have there. So I'm recommending that as well. So again, I'm recommending 2 sergeants, 1 officer, the purchase of the software, and an animal control officer.
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
Did we ever fill the vacancy left when Pam retired? I know her position was replaced, but did we fill the vacancy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. No, we're fully staffed there.
Okay.
We're just short manpower.
Yeah.
In our fire.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Please go ahead.
I'm sure you've talked to us about it, but I appreciate you refreshing my memory a little bit about on the case management software. How does that work, and how is it a savings to us and so forth?
Yeah, so basically it's a technology-based system. So let's say, it's probably easier if I give some examples of how it might work. And
yeah.
Chief, feel free to jump in if I screw this up. Let's say that you come home and find out that your garage was broken into and some items were taken. In order to file your insurance claim, you need a policeman to come out and give you a case number so that you can file that claim. So you would call into the non-emergency dispatch. They'd send an officer out. They'd ask you a bunch of questions. They'd follow up. You'd get a case number, file your insurance claim. What this software would allow you to do is to log in to the portal, and then it will ask a series of intelligent questions, the same that an officer would ask in the progression of getting the information. And then you put the answers in. It will not allow you to skip anything or anything until it has all of the information required. And we set that up, and then when it's all complete, it will issue you a case number, and an officer doesn't have to be involved. Now, if you try to do that for something that's in progress, like the guy's still in your garage and you're trying to fill that out, it will recognize that. It'll make the 911 call for you, and it will dispatch the appropriate rapid response.
Are you in harm's way? Yes. Okay, stop.
Yes, stop, and we're sending. So what it's really designed to do, because right now, you know, our officers will get a backlog of all these calls, stolen bike or broken window, and then they've got to get some information. Even if you fill out the online thing now, they still have to call, they still have to verify, they still may have follow-up questions, you know, do you want to prosecute, all these other kinds of things. This way a computer's asking all of that. That saves us an officer having to make the calls, drive out to your house, take the report. And so as you can imagine, we have a lot of these kinds of reports that are non-emergency. They eat up a lot of officer time. So for an initial investment of about $90,000, we can get this implemented. And then after that, it's $30,000 a year. That's much cheaper than an officer. I think the demographics in our community will embrace this type of technology, especially our younger folks. They don't really want to interface with an officer, but they'll interface on their phone with a computer.
So the phone will do it.
You can do it on your phone.
Connect it.
Yep. You just pull up on the phone and you can file it. We can have a kiosk in any of our buildings that they could walk into. If they come into the public safety building, hey, I need to talk to an officer and get a case number, file a report, they could walk right over to a kiosk and do it all right there. So it should save us a lot on the time. It should save us in the cost of having to travel around the city to get to places. And I think our, you know, people that might be afraid to report something because maybe they don't want to talk to a police officer, they could still do this. Maybe they're intimidated by having to talk to an officer. Maybe it's just inconvenient. Because, you know, when you make that call in, and they're like, oh, I'll call you back, and then you're making dinner, that you're at work, and you get the call, oh, this is Officer Jones, I wanted to follow up, and you're like, this is not a good time. If you stop the process midway through, and you log back in later to it, you pick up right where you left off. So you can leave it and come back to it. If you have to go find a bit of information, or if life happens and you need to pause, this software allows you to do that.
So, Chief, have you actually played around with the software?
Yes, we've had people that looked at this. This is the way things are going. And let's just be honest here, because about 40%, and some estimates are about 40%, are what we call late reports, or things that could potentially be handled. And when you've got limited resources, this is going to allow us, especially like Dustin said, with the younger people, to actually, they can do the report themselves. I equate this to checking yourself out at the grocery store.
Yeah.
You're going to be required to do some work, but it's going to save, in this case, it saves the city some scarce resources.
Well, some time for the residents as well.
Absolutely. Not having to wait.
I guess the question mark in my mind is it really user-friendly?
I
ask that because I think some of our systems are not particularly user-friendly.
Yeah, this is
from a public point of view.
This is an AI-driven solution, so it will be like you're interfacing with that officer.
Mm-hmm. So if it's AI-driven, then with that AI, it's asking intelligent questions.
Yes. Right.
It's not just a
form. It's not just asking you the questions on the form.
Good.
Just like an officer would pick up on things and know what to ask.
You have to be using AI.
Yeah. And that's what you guys told us in that last meeting, and that's why we've looked even more at it, and does it make the most sense for us?
How much, could I ask again?
Yes, go ahead.
What's the average salary of an officer a year?
So the beginning would be about, for now, about 115, 116.
So by not hiring another officer, we're saving about that much.
I mean, that's the total cost, right?
Total cost for one of the police sergeants that I'm recommending is $191,979.
That's uniform,
everything.
Gun,
that's
car.
That's for a sergeant. That doesn't include the car. For a regular officer, it's $116,128. And then I've still got to buy a car on top of that. I still have to buy uniforms. I still have to buy a gun.
So when you're saying 90K up front plus the 30.
Well, it's 60 plus the 30 the first year, and then in each year after
that. 60?
It's,
yeah. It's 60.
60 is a setup plus a 30. So it's 90 the first year.
So 90 the first year.
Then
it
goes to
30
the next year.
Got it.
Now that number is based.
Which will go up roughly 6%.
It has an elevator because it's based on our total number of officers, and as we add other officers, there'll be slight increases in that. But it's still far below what it's going to cost me to put a guy on the street to just go do basically administrative type police work.
Right. I'm thrilled to hear it's using AI. Are they going to be quarterly, annually, like the system that we're buying into, how progressive, intuitive? I mean, are they going to continually update this? Because in 3 months, it'll be dated.
For sure it is. I don't know how often it will be updated by the company, but the company is also the one that we use for, it's valley-wide, and it's called Versaterm. And so the amount of integration is pretty minimal because it's being created for this, particularly for this system that everybody uses in Valley. So I think you're going to benefit greatly by it.
And if I could ask another question, is there a competitive company doing a similar system and we've determined this is the best one, or is this like a
monopoly? Well, this is a system that works with all of the other systems that we have.
So this is our option.
So this is what VEC, our dispatch agency, this is what our officers, it's all integral to that.
So we either plug into this system or we don't plug into a system.
Well, there's probably other
solutions
out there, but they would have to be integrated with our current dispatch and records system, and they're not. I mean, this is
built to go with what we have.
Got it. Thank you. Good question.
No, those are great questions to help you understand why we're making some of the recommendations that we are.
Anyone else have any questions?
The next was the fire department. They have asked for a medical training captain. And as we have discussed and looked at this, it's certainly needed as they grow as a department and the amount of medical that we do. But we also know in the coming years, we've got a lot of fire staffing to bring on board as we staff Fire Station 65, as we bring a second company into Station 64. And as Sunil and I look at the numbers of people that are involved in staffing those kinds of things, we're going to hold off on hiring the medical captain and make that part of those plans as we hire the staff for those next growth buildings. So those will come in future years. And as you know, we've planned to staff fire departments in the past. We usually split that over a couple of years. And so we are thinking long-term in the strategy of how are we going to hire these next 40 people in the fire department over the next couple of years, and how do we plan for that into our budget? Because that's a lot of people into the fire department in the next few years. So we're gonna hold off on that one. HR asked for a HR administrative assistant. Now, it's always tough to battle with Teresa on HR things. There's no question that HR has a need. We have a lot of employees. We have over 400 full-time employees. We have seasonally over 100 part-time employees at time, and they're constantly doing things. We're looking for some ways to maybe do some things with some software and some other things, and I'm not recommending that we hire the HR position this year. In the building, in engineering, they have asked for an additional full-time code compliance officer. Now, when you'll remember when we talked in November, we talked about parking, and if we were going to start enforcing parking and getting into the parking business, we would probably need a full-time position just to get started and then more after that. Since we're not quite ready to get into the parking business, we've looked at that. One of the things that we do in our city is all of our building inspectors also double as code compliance officers when they have time. As you know, for many years, we've just had enormous growth and a lot of permits, which meant a lot of inspections. And our building inspectors rarely had time to get out and do code compliance. One of the things that we noticed last year was a significant downturn in the number of permits, which in turn reduces the number of inspections, which in turn frees up a little bit of time for my building inspectors. And we think that given the current trend, we can probably hold for a year and allow our building inspectors to help augment what needs to happen in code compliance. And so I am not recommending that at this time, as it gives me a way to keep my building inspectors fully engaged and busy. The next area is our recreation and events. This is a department that over the years has always asked for positions, and they've always been bumped for public safety. As you know, our recreation department puts on a lot of activities in the city. In the last year and a half, we've actually had to cancel some events because we didn't have the staffing enable us to cover all the things that we had going on at the same time in the city. So I took these requests very serious, knowing that they haven't had the staffing to keep up with the growth the last couple of years. And knowing what we need to hire in public safety in the coming years, it could be a while. Now, also when we talked last, one of the things I left off that list was a baseball program in recreation, which will be a big thing. South Jordan is quickly gaining a reputation as a baseball destination city.
Yeah.
I think our little league programs need to reflect that.
Oh yeah,
Our partnerships. And so
100%.
That played a lot into these positions that were asked for, and then I'm going to recommend that we include in the budget. The first is a grant and sponsorship coordinator. I think this is a position that if we can fill it will be very helpful in helping us work better with the community so that we don't have different departments all asking the same people for things, that we have somebody that can really watch closely the grants that we get, that can look for opportunities for grants. This position probably pays for itself and then some. And so I'm recommending that we fill that position. It will be a big help to our recreation team.
What's the title of that job?
It's a grant and sponsorship coordinator. And that may tweak slightly as we develop the job description and fully vet all of the things that we want that person to accomplish. That's the concept.
Yes, go ahead.
If I were hiring that person in the private sector, I'd bonus them. Can we do that in the public sector?
It's a very sticky thing to try to do in the public sector.
My suggestion would be someone in that kind of a position should be bonused. It's great motivation. Get the job done, exceed the job, and you get bonused.
Let us look into that because there might be some things that do that, but I know what you're saying because it's the motivation.
Here's a job, get it done. If you exceed and get above and beyond, here's a bonus.
I have to be somewhat careful with that too because my engineers in the private sector, when they save $30 million on a job, they get a $100,000 bonus or more. When my engineers do it, I give them a $400 gift card and say, thanks, guys.
I know. Private and public sectors are different.
So
I'm just saying.
Bonus is
my first thought
it's a tricky thing. But I know what you're saying. We're hoping, though, that position will be just a huge benefit to the team. And that's part of why I'm really recommending it because we haven't had it. And I think we're of the size of a city now that we need to have that type of a position. And I think recreation is a good spot for that.
We should have given May a whole bunch of bonus by now.
It's a good thing Ryan's not here because he's landed a lot of things for us.
Revenue brought in,
but we never give
money.
A bonus
we
to
all
a lawyer.
So.
I'm not trying to create a problem. I'm just saying my first thought is, okay, I guess I am.
We'll check that. I think there's some prohibitions, but let me explore that. It's not common, but.
You're right.
In the private sector, that would be a bonus, and I don't know that you can do that.
So the next position that was asked for was an event coordinator. Again, just the sheer volume of events that we're trying to do, everything from the parent pixie events to the movies in the parks to Light the Night to Summerfest, we just don't have the manpower to keep up. So I'm recommending that position.
What is Natalie's title?
She is...
Special events coordinator.
It's a similar.
That's what I thought. I thought that was Natalie's title. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's just
another. Okay.
You realize in recreation right now we have in your shop what six full time people?
In the
just in
program.
The rec side, just six people that run all of that stuff in the
amazing.
City right now.
Yeah.
And when you think about how many hours, I mean, they've been working on Summerfest already for the last 2 months. And I think they've even started some stuff on Light the Night. So there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that a lot of people don't understand, and it's the six of them, and that includes Janelle. So
including Janelle. Wow.
And she has a little thing like mulligans that she has to make sure it works too. So with that, then the next one that I'm requesting is a full-time recreation program coordinator dedicated to baseball. Right now, we have two coordinators that deal with softball and soccer and all of those events, and they are maxed out. They do not have room to add a program like baseball and the thousands of participants that come along, the management of coaches, the management of umpires, all of those elements that come. And I think it's in our best interest that we have a dedicated person to run baseball.
So what does that look like? Baseball is a seasonal sport.
I was just going to ask that.
Well, during the off season, there's a lot of stuff that happens, and Mayor Ramsey, you'll know from her experience in baseball, there's really not an off season. Bingham baseball has already been doing things for the last couple months to ramp up for the next season. There is a little bit of capacity there, which will quickly be eaten up by assisting the other event coordinators.
Okay.
Now
we'll put the person towards.
Yeah, this. And by the way, it sounds like I'm giving recreation a lot. I'm still not giving them everything that they asked for. So whatever capacity is left there will be eaten up in helping with the other programs.
Gotcha.
The other full-time position that was asked for in rec was a public art coordinator. As you know, we've recently adopted the new arts plan. There's a lot happening in our arts. Our arts council is becoming much more involved. We're including a lot more activities. Arts becoming a lot more part of our community. I just don't have the budget to
call the title.
It's a
public art coordinator.
I don't have the budget to fill that position this year, and so I'm not going to recommend that we fill that one this year.
And maybe our grant and sponsorship person may be able to help
yes,
fund
exactly.
that in the future.
Possibly. Again, where there's any capacity left, it will be eaten up to help us do these things. Right now, Tiffany does a tremendous job, and I'm sure that these people will help her out, yeah, to, because we have a lot coming in the arts world, and they're going to need that help.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. I realize, like, we don't have room for that position, but the arts programming that we're offering really does need another person. But I'm sure, yeah, that we'll adapt with these other positions with any free time that's available.
Now, in the other position that's being asked for there, as some of you may know, our museum has gained tremendous popularity. There's been some influencers that have posted about our museum.
I almost replied and said thank you, and then I thought, no, I'm not. I'm not saying thank you. But I've seen some of those posts on Instagram, and they have been wildly popular.
It is a very, very popular place.
It's been growing.
Yeah.
Marin and the team over there have been phenomenal in their make and take projects, in doing very exciting exhibits. It's quite popular. They have asked for a part-time museum assistant simply to help us have the bodies that we need. There are times when we don't have bodies to keep the museum open, the doors open, because we don't have staff to cover it. Having a part-time museum assistant helps us bridge those gaps and keeps it open, because the numbers of visitors per month is significant and growing. So, and that's a great thing for our community.
It's actually a strategy that I think we should be mindful of. If we have other events that we're doing in the city that we're like, the turnout maybe isn't what we want, or how can we grow this? I kid you not, that whatever the Utah families or, you know, things to do in Utah, or whatever it is, I saw that post and there were like 3,800 likes on it, and it had been just like that day or the day before, and a gazillion comments. And I went, wait, what about the Gale Center?
There's
a power in social media. And sometimes engaging, there could be other times when engaging with certain folks to share our good story could be really good for us.
Again, remember, we have some of our recreation team that's housed over there. And this person, again, can lend help and capacity on some of these projects and some of these other things that happen. So it's adding a little extra manpower that can do a lot of things.
As part of that need also, driven by having less volunteer docents, as some of our
this helps when docents don't make a shift and when we have gaps in that. And yeah, it's kind of an all-purpose plug-and-play player that really will help us in that regard. Next one I want to talk about is the cemetery. There was a request for two seasonal part-time folks to help in cemetery. Cemetery is unique in that it's sometimes hard to know what the work schedule is going to be, and sometimes it's super busy and sometimes it's not. We also have a lot of acreage down there that requires a lot of weeding and trimming, and we've been contracting out for extra help down there. We think it is more cost effective to have people. As we sat down with Director Garrison to talk through this, we discovered that we were underutilizing some part-time positions that we had approved in our streets division. And through our discussions, we felt that it would be more useful to move that and put that towards the part-time cemetery seasonal positions. Director Garrison was willing to make some accommodations to make that happen. And so my recommendation is that's how we address those two requests for cemetery. And that should actually end up saving us, hopefully, money in having to contract out for extra labor to come in and do the weed eating and some of those types of things. It also allows some of our cemetery people to actually take a vacation day in the summer, because when you only have three people and you get a burial, they can't be off for the weekend, and a lot of the burials happen on Fridays and Saturdays. So, with that brings us to some positions in the Public Works Department. Had a lot of conversations in this. I think Jason and I worked Ray over several days on this. We know that we're a growing city. We anticipate building our second public works facility on the west side here in the near future. And so we sat down and we talked about visioning what our staffing needs to look like over the next few years, and how do we get there, and what does the organizational chart look like now that sets us up to make these transitions to being the big city, to having multiple public works lots and dividing our workforce in a way that makes sense into divisions. For example, we know that we do a lot more meter sets and things on the west side because that's where we're building things. Well, we have more cleaning and storm drains on the east side. And you know, so there's things that we know that have geographic components. And so we sat down and we developed an organizational chart of what things probably will need to look like when the Public Works Department is 150 employees and geographically covers 26 square miles of city. And then we worked backwards from that. So in order to make some of these recommendations work, Director Garrison was willing to make some changes now in combining some divisions and doing some things that set us up for that future. So with that, there's a request for a street supervisor and two streets maintenance workers. And by working with him and how we've restructured some things now, we've found a way to make that work in the budget. And then the other division is parks. Again, because we're becoming a baseball city, we want our fields and our parks around our fields to be the kind of venue that people want to come be part of. We want those fields to be safe. We want those to be well maintained. We did a thing last year where we thought we could save some money if we had the field users do the maintenance. And that didn't work out for us.
What do you mean by field users, the baseball kids?
So Bingham Baseball had to provide their own field maintenance. They had to rake the fields, they had to chalk the fields, they had to pick up the trash, they had to change the toilet paper in the bathrooms. Nice. That was all part of the agreement for them to use the fields. And it was a lot of work on their part, but it didn't, our standards at the fields didn't live up to our reputation. We heard about it from players, we heard about it from parents, and so we don't want to do that again. We want to take the pride to get our fields to be what they need to be for the kinds of programs that we offer. So with that, I'm recommending that we get a ball field maintenance foreman. It's going to be a specialty position in the Parks Department. And they will have the primary role of taking care of and maintaining all of our baseball and softball fields around the city. And again, this is looking to the future because remember, not only is it the nine fields that we have here and the field out in Glenmore, but as you recall, as we work with the Rio Tinto folks, part of that agreement was to have a park with a whole bunch of baseball fields in it in the future. And so this is setting us up for the long term to be able to care and maintain for all of these assets.
And I think Rio wants to come in and give us kind of an update fairly soon. I saw Wayne the other day at the Capitol, and he was kind of giving a little bit of information. I think we'll hear more about that from Rio soon. But that's definitely
those again are
still
sitting on
moving along
on the edge, because those are things that, remember, when we met with them that we wanted in the first few years of that development. So there's a recommendation to have that. And then there's a recommendation for
a... Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
So in the past, if we required the users of the field to maintain, they didn't do a stellar job, then by pulling that back, are we increasing the fees so they help support that service?
Well, remember, we're going to be the user.
Pardon?
We're going to be the user now. It's not going to be Bingham Baseball anymore.
But each child that registers.
Yes. Those fees now, instead of going to Bingham Baseball, come into our recreation program to help offset those program costs.
They would. And it's very strong. Whether it stays with Bingham Baseball or whether it comes to the city, the costs are probably going to have to go up some.
Yeah. And now there will still be outside users that use our fields. There's still some comp leagues and there's still some specialty tournaments. But yes, we're going to have to look at what those fees are, and we're going to have to charge the appropriate fee.
Right.
That pays its true weight instead of subsidizing.
Because if before they paid a certain fee and there was expected labor, and now there's no expected labor, the fee has to go up to compensate.
Right. And one of the things that we have, our fees are some of the cheapest around because we've never raised them.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, part of it too. And so that's part of the putting together this program and why I need some of these people is to figure that out, to resolve that, to make sure that we do charge the appropriate fees to whom and when those fees need to be charged. The other position that I'm going to support and suggest that we add is a park supervisor for event support. Again, this is going back to how many events we do. Right now, we scramble people and we borrow and we move people around to do the setup for some of these things, the takedown for some of these. Director Payne and Director Garrison have to do a lot of coordination to support these events, to make sure that stages get put in the right place, that tents are set up, and all of these things. This would create a position that would help take care of that. And again, in the slower periods, they help to fill the other gaps that we have in parks. Then there was a request for 4 parks maintenance workers. We've found the budget, and I would recommend that we fill 2 of those. I'd love to fill all 4. You remember a couple years ago, I think we shared with you a study that showed we were short about 34 FTEs in parks. So there was a request for 4 this year, but Sunil and I feel like we can figure out how to fund 2 of those, and that's what I would recommend to you. Our storm drain division, which is an enterprise fund, has a request for a part-time person to help there. We've looked at that. It's within the enterprise fund. It can fully support that, and I recommend doing that.
How many?
Just one part-time storm drain maintenance person. And again, that's to help with the growing amount of infrastructure that has to be cleaned. It has to be TV inspected. There's a lot that goes with that. And we've added enough infrastructure that we just need that little bit of extra help there. In the water division, again, that's an enterprise fund. There's a request for a backflow technician. That's to help us keep up with growth on all the backflows around the city that have to be tested and inspected. And again, that enterprise fund can support that, and I'm recommending that be included. And then the last enterprise fund is Mulligan's. There's a request there for 2 full-time positions. The first one is an additional golf course maintenance worker. We're really trying to get a handle on it. We're really trying to make it look good. We just need that extra hand down there. We've had to borrow at times from other departments to help us out, and having another full-time person down there, I think will help get us over that hump that we've been trying to get over. And then the last one is a food service coordinator. Now, this one's an interesting position. We've never had anything quite like this. We have done a lot of experiments with food service at Mulligan's. We have learned a lot of things that don't work. What I'm hoping is that this position will help us to figure out not only what needs to happen inside Mulligan's, it helps us with the scheduling of the help that runs that part of the Caddyshack. But I'm also anticipating that this person will help with the concessions at the baseball and softball fields. Because again, we will be taking that over. That will become a revenue center for the city. I think it's a very good revenue center. We haven't been able to actually get real numbers because we don't do it and it doesn't get reported, and I don't know what's happening. I am anticipating that this person will get a handle on that, and that from what I've heard, it should be good revenues in that sense. I also am hoping that this person can help us out in other things, like providing the meals before council and making sure that those get coordinated and taken care of when we have events that require meals and things. That now I've just got a person that's what they do. That's what they know. They coordinate all of that. And so I'm recommending that we fill that. That's where we're at. We're filling a lot of the positions that were asked for. There's only just a few that we didn't. It's not because we don't need them. It's just I couldn't stretch any more pennies out of Sunil. I tried hard. But if you're comfortable with those recommendations, we can make that work in the budget. The last piece that I want to talk about is existing. Oh, go ahead.
Thank you. I just wonder if I just have to believe you have this on a spreadsheet, all the requests and what you've approved and so forth, and I just wonder if I could get a copy of it.
I'm absolutely certain we can share that with you, and I know Sunil and I'd be happy to sit down and we can show you the really gory details behind
it. I'm not sure I want the gory details, but
they're there. It's a work.
I would like to multiple sheets. Be able to see it. You know,
we can.
Not like this.
Yeah, something different than the mayor's notes.
Like, I got to keep track somehow. You know.
we're happy to share that with you so that you can see what that is.
And, I appreciate it.
You know, at the end of the day, the numbers all work to make that happen. The next piece I want to talk about is our existing employees. You know, the 500 total people that we have. We have sat down. We've looked through all the numbers on that. Part of what the department heads all submit when they submit these requests for new people is they also submit all of the career ladders for people in their departments. We had 96 submissions for career ladders. What career ladders are, if we've hired a maintenance worker one and they have met all of the requirements and perfected all of the skills necessary to become a maintenance worker two, they get a little bit of a bump. And it's part of a career ladder. And so for many positions in the city, we have information agent 1, 2, 3. We have parks maintenance worker 1, 2, 3. We have several of these. There were 96 submissions for people that we believe will be eligible for career ladders in the coming year. We believe that we are able to fund those. HR spent time reviewing many sets of the different employment classifications around the city to make sure that we are staying competitive in those job classes. We have identified a few where we have people that are what we believe are outside of market, meaning that they are, you know, more than 5 or 10%. In some cases, they may be 15 or 20% outside of what their peers make in the market. So we have identified some of those, and we are working to fund those in a way that brings them back into the market to keep them competitive. Nothing's harder than to retain an employee when they can go somewhere else and make 20% more. And so we want to fix a few of those positions that have fallen way outside of the market for whatever conditions drive that.
Go ahead. May I ask what areas are we looking at? Like, what tends to be our outside of market areas?
So this year, I'm going to cheat off of yours. The legal area is one, because we've seen so much change there with what the Attorney General's office did and how that cascaded down to county attorney's offices and other cities. It put many of our attorneys out of market. And it's already tough when we compete with the private sector for attorneys. Because the private sector, as you all know, those attorneys, they make a very good wage. And any of our attorneys could leave and go to the private sector and probably make four times what they make. So we're trying to get those back in market to be competitive with the other governmental institutions that are in the market. The information technology world, your IT people, again, we're competing against the private sector, and many of our positions are below or significantly below what similar type positions there make. Some of the positions in our parks department have fallen out of market and are below. Again, that's part of, those are difficult positions to fill, and cities just go poach each other. And so they've done some wage wars, and they've tried to steal people from us. And then the other area is in our fire department. There is a couple of positions that are position specific. That are out of market. They're kind of some specialty kinds of things. So those are the areas where we need to make a couple of market adjustments. So we've accounted for that within the budget to make us competitive there. We have anticipated what the premium costs will be for our medical and dental insurances. And we have figured out how to make the budget work. To work with that, we generally see an increase. We've done that. Our goal there is to make sure that we can continue to provide very close to the same insurance to our employees so that they're not out having to choose new doctors and do things. We want to keep that as close as we can. That's really important for retention. Many of our employees are very grateful for the benefit that we provide there, and they don't like to see a lot of disruption. That's one of the things that actually helps us draw people to our city. We've been with the same provider for almost 30 years or longer. None of us can even remember. And a lot of other areas, they'll rebid that, and it's cheap, and then it jumps up, and then they have to rebid, and it just whips
people
their employees.
People hate that. Nobody wants to change all their doctors.
And so we've really wanted to try to keep that, so that's in there. And then the other key thing is you hear a lot about market adjustments and COLAs and those kinds of things. We're looking at that to stay very competitive. I want to be able to do something. We think that there's a little bit there that we can make adjustments and give people a little bit on the general pay plan. And then as well as our step plans, we think that we can fund the step plans to allow people on the step plans to move. And I'll leave it at that. But it will keep us competitive in the market. So those are the big things where we're at with people when it comes to the budget. We feel very confident that the package that we've put together, we can cover and make it work this year. What kind of questions do you want to ask?
Employees, is that? I could add up my notes, but they're kind of nice.
Let me look real quick. So full-time, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I have 19 on my sheet. Did you count the part-timers? Okay, I'll just go through them for review and we'll count them. Police sergeant, police officer, animal control officer, grants coordinator, event coordinator, recreation program coordinator, street supervisor, streets maintenance, ball field maintenance, parks supervisor, park maintenance, backflow technician, golf course maintenance, food services. 17?
17.
Yep.
So. Yeah, I counted 20, so apparently somebody's getting some extra.
You might have included.
So remember, you might have counted some of the part-times. That's what
there's
I did.
There's a storm
drain. Oh, I did.
And
I
came
up
with
20. So 20 is correct, total.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the
indecipherable notes at least added up, right?
So that's how you would have gotten there.
Okay.
I swear it's about you.
It's not everything that's needed, but it's the best use of the resources that we have. Priorities that you've outlined.
This is my notes. I knew I was going to ask for the spreadsheet.
Any other questions? And again, there's some things that we're watching go through the legislative process, and depending on what the legislature does on some of the retirement bills and some things, we'll have to keep an eye on that. And if they do anything, we may have to come back and make some adjustments or some tweaks. So we'll watch that through the legislative process. But as of right now, we should be good with all of that.
Another question. I'm just wondering if the compensation committees looked at the COLAs and all that.
Yep, we had those discussions.
Who wound up on the compensation committee?
According to all of our notes, what I had written down, what Jason had written down, you're the guy.
So I know so I haven't looked at it.
That's
what is it?
You just got put on the compensation committee met last year.
We met last year.
We met last
year.
Oh, so Councilmember Marler was in the meeting where that was discussed.
So miraculously found a way to fund 20 employees when we haven't. I almost
that's
hesitate to find out how many kidneys we have to sell to make this work. But
a few.
Yeah. Look forward to seeing the big picture. And
so
it's always give and take.
If you guys are comfortable, we will continue down that path of putting this together in the budget. And you're welcome if, you know, as you ruminate on it in the next day or two, if you want more questions, you want to look at the spreadsheet, give me a call and either Sue or I.
I guess the questions that run around in my head are the experience that our residents will have as a result of this. So, you know, do we believe that fire response time will be maintained or improved? Do we believe that police response time will be maintained or improved? Do we
yeah.
believe that our parks will be mowed more frequently than they have been? You know, those are what people are experiencing, actually. You know?
And I like that you use the term our employees' experience level rather than our service level, right? Because it really does come down to how our employees experience the city. All of these recommendations should definitely help with our experience level, especially in the area of parks and recreation. Those will be there. You shouldn't see any difference in our police and fire experience levels, short of as we continue to grow west, that is affecting our fire response times. And that's simply a matter of geography. It's right. just covering space right. and time. And again, that's why we're looking at Station 65, is to cover that geographical distance. Now you'll see hiring the officers, that helps us keep up with growth. Having the AI solution on the case management software, that certainly helps service levels.
Sure.
Department directors, if I've missed something or you're thinking of something right now about how this affects your service experience level, raise your hand.
Chief. The only thing I would say is I think when we get this IA implemented, if it's true what we're seeing from the industry that 30 or 40% of calls are what we would term late reports and not in progress type stuff, the implementation of that should actually help us be where we need to be quicker. Right. It frees up some time. And more proactivity. So like our traffic problems, Councilmember Johnson, we just talked about that the other day, and so having more time to do some of that should help our, complaints in those areas go down. I get more complaints about traffic than anything else.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And so if we have more time to address those kinds of problems, I think that's a helpful thing.
I think
we are going to struggle with growth. I mean, there's no question about that.
Oh, yeah.
It definitely helps us with that animal control officer, because there's times when we've actually had to close the shelter and people haven't been able to come in and yeah. pick up an animal, look at an animal, drop off food, because we haven't had an officer that could be there. They're out taking care of things. I don't think they have time to be that proactive just yet. Having that communication intern that can help us with the marketing aspects of some of our programs, getting the coverage on those is big. Those part-time folks down at the cemetery, that's a huge experience level for the people there.
Oh, yeah.
So I think all of these positions either help us to maintain the level, bring it back to the level that it once was, or are foundational in keeping that level going forward.
Right. This is great.
I really love the grant sponsorship coordinator position. I think there are a lot of opportunities there. I think the city's always been good at looking at those opportunities, but we've grown enough that having one person really oversee that, and maybe, I don't know if they take that all on or if they assist some of the other departments with some of the grants that they apply for, but we've always done a lot of that. Having a coordinator for that, because there's so much of it and we need to maximize, right? That, I think it will pay for itself, and I think that's gonna be great.
I think it's going to be a big piece for us as we grow forward.
Yeah.
I have a question there.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're putting in another part-time, putting in a part-time intern in the marketing. How many people are in the marketing department currently?
Three. We have Rachel Van Cleef, who is our public information officer. We have Josh Timothy, and we have
Tyson Cole.
I always get his names backwards. So do I. Tyson Cole. So those are our three. They're busy. And this person would really help, especially with our summer events. In speaking with Director Nagai, this would really help us with our summer fest and our summer activities and those things that take a lot more marketing and attention to that program. Other thoughts or questions? If not, I have one other item I want to ask you about as I figure out how to put the budget together. So last year, we were invited to partner with the Live Date Break folks to do the end of summer bash. And I think by all reports, it was very successful. It was welcomed in the community. And they've reached out.
I'm sure the fire marshal wouldn't have appreciated it.
They've reached out about doing that again.
Even though it was outdoors.
And I think most of you want to do that, but I wanted to give you an idea of what the kinds of resources are that it takes, because it's significant enough that I need to make sure that we carve it out and account for it in the budget. So Janelle and her team have put together a quick white paper to kind of give you an idea of what those costs are. You can see what our costs were in 2023, and you can see what we anticipate them to be in 2024. Director Payne, is there anything that you want to share about that?
I highlighted in the one sheet, but just with lessons learned this last year, there's a couple adjustments that we make. And if we are going to be continue to be like a true partner on the event, we have some unique resources within the city and risk management and our incident command system we use for large scale events, which this would qualify as. We would like to collaborate more with Live Daybreak and have a good emergency action plan, incident management plan, like we do similar for Summerfest and Light the Night and those. So that would take a little bit of additional personnel time. You can see that reflected here in the anticipated cost. One other note, about 20 minutes before this meeting, I got some information from the Live Daybreak director that they anticipate some costs going up and would actually like to increase their ask for the drone portion to $14,000. So that's just a note that that is a request of theirs.
So it takes us up to about $31,000.
Yeah.
So I just want to make sure before we hard commit that you guys are either on board or not on board with that. There are some real advantages for us to partner and participate. It's a good activity for the community. It helps us bookend our summer events with Summerfest kicking it off, with the end of summer bash kind of bookending that. And I think it's good for our staff to be involved. But there's a price tag that comes with it, and I just want you to be aware of it.
Saturday at the Polar Plunge benefiting Special Olympics Utah. That's where I was, right? They, Special Olympics Utah had asked me to MC that, which is why I wasn't at our race series, but I would love to hear how that went. So we did the Polar Plunge, and it's the first time it's been done in Salt Lake County, and it was done at Ochre Lake in Daybreak in South Jordan, and it was for folks from all across Salt Lake and Utah counties. We had hundreds of people come Polar Plunge, and Live Daybreak helped put it on. And it was a wildly successful event. It was awesome. And the University of Utah football team came out. They dove in. It was really well done. Our emergency response personnel who were there were fantastic. It was just well done. It was really well done between all the parties that helped coordinate it and sponsor it and whatever. They talked to me at the end of that, after the Live Daybreak folks talked to me. They brought this up a little bit, appreciated it, and probably five times that day between Dan and Austin, they said, including the final remarks as I was leaving, we would really love to partner with the city on more things if you're interested. We think it's a good thing for the city. We think it's a good thing all the way across the board. And I understand why, but it is. I think for us it is too. And so anyway, I guess my only input on this would be that I appreciate that it says there'd be additional prominent promotion of Summerfest by Live Daybreak. That's appreciated. This was all marketed last year as a Live Daybreak end of summer bash event. If South Jordan's going to put this kind of resources and time into it, it has got to be appropriately marketed. I think you all know how I feel about that.
No.
It's got to be appropriately marketed, you know, and South Jordan's name has to be just as prominent as Live Daybreak if together we're hosting this together, right? That's my two cents.
We can carry that message back.
Thank you.
And really, I was just going to say on that, I think it should just be something called like End of Summer Bash, and then it can just have the sponsorship and the two logos.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no Live Daybreak, mm-hmm. End of Summer Bash, just the End of Summer Bash. Just kind of like we have Summerfest. Mm-hmm.
I like
okay.
that. Go ahead.
My two cents. I would say no to the $2,000. And I would say, in lieu of the $2,000, we're adding additional staff and we're doing improved emergency incident action. They're going to do it with or without us. They claim they won't. And I know we're on record, but I know Dan, his budget's been cut. So, of course, he's going to lean on us. And I think we should provide what we're good at. And what we're good at is the emergency, the incident, the staff. They can come up with $2,000. So I would say, don't say yes to everything. Negotiate. Are you in agreement?
Yeah.
We don't need to say yes to every dollar he asks for, but we are providing an incredible resource. Every time we show up with our police and our fire, that costs a lot of money, and they don't feel that or recognize that to the degree that we do. That's my two cents. That's good.
Just as a side note, Aaron Sainsbury, our emergency manager, had the opportunity to take several members of Janelle's team up to Park City to see how they plan for the Sundance Film Festival and to see how their instant action planning goes, how they run their emergency operations center. They got to attend the briefing for that to kick off. So we have people that are really good at this,
yeah,
and that's what we bring to that, and our people are getting better and better.
Exactly.
And
South Jordan is stellar at it, and they that's a service they can't do without us. And I'm not saying we're leveraging, I'm saying let's recognize what we bring to the table, and money's not their biggest value from us. Their biggest value from us is a partnership and our police and personnel.
Yeah, they need us to figure out the parking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they need
yeah.
our permission to put all this. Anyway, I don't
parking
think we should contribute
problem,
more
sure.
monetary. I think what we contribute is we make it more enhanced with, like you said, the protection and the
if you're good at that, we'll stick to this and we'll take that back and we'll negotiate.
Yeah.
I like it.
Plus, I want the hashtag We Are SoJo and Every Live Daybreak post for the rest of all time. Just kidding. South Jordan or SoJo or something. Come on. Daybreak Utah is not
the,
a thing.
Yeah. When you sit down, I think it should be,
Daybreak
whether it's
Mayor.
You or you, it should be very clearly stated. Just like the Beast baseball is not Daybreak, it's South Jordan. And I had somebody bring it up in a South Valley Chamber meeting. Yesterday, I was at the Women in Business meeting, and somebody mentioned something about Daybreak leaving South Jordan. I'm like, oh my heavens, if I hear this again, I'm going to throw up. And I explained again why that'll never happen. But you specifically, and as a council, we've done so much better at saying, this is South Jordan, this is South Jordan. Dan and his team, as you said, have to retool things. If they want our partnership, then it goes in tandem, not stacked, maybe side by side, maybe South Jordan on top, right? But we need to expect and demand a few things if we're participating monetarily with them. They need us in this event because he's been talking to me about it for 2 years. So I love that we're doing it. I absolutely am in favor of moving forward in it. I think it's a great collaboration, but let's remember our value as we step into this partnership.
I'm not interested in a lukewarm effort on their part to, you know, a token South Jordan here and there. If it's not it, it's not it. And I'm not interested
and
in having that
like
conversation
maybe
again.
We would want to see how it's going to be branded before we give the okay for
absolutely.
The financial commitment.
Yep.
Is that
yep.
what I'm
yep.
hearing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I see it on paper because I have experience of verbal things. And you, I mean, I work with these guys all
okay.
the time.
Okay.
Payment post-event. Pending our satisfaction.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So have them show you the marketing, because marketing is key, and we need to be intentional about what they give.
Do we know how many residents attended last year?
Depends on who you ask.
I'll go with city numbers.
What was your crowd estimate?
It was similar to during fireworks at Summerfest. So
okay.
I'd say 5,000.
I didn't get
to
that.
I was out of town, though. So I didn't.
I thought it was more than that, too.
I went the year before.
It's in a more condensed area. They were on, the crowd
yeah.
was on one side
yeah,
of that park field where City Park is all
yeah.
spread out. But
yes,
it's hard to,
it was packed.
To say without.
I had to walk from my house to get there because there was no.
Well, I planned on parking
that
at
was your closest
my
parking.
My daughter having to go back to my house. She's in the car. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
changed.
I just park my house and walk over.
Time has
been.
What has been the range?
Yeah.
And it was between 5 and 10.
It was really yeah, I think you're higher
and
than
it
5.
Because
those
break people.
Concerts that are right
well,
across from my office,
thing.
They'll pass 3 to 5,000 at that little postage
stamp. Open to everybody.
And it is. It was last year, too.
But if it says Daybreak on it,
yeah.
that
in comparison
are,
with what I have an actual count of.
Right.
Which is why they have to do the parking.
Right.
Right.
They can't last every hour and count certain sections.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Very true.
There's some techniques.
I mean, if it's our event, it should happen.
Okay,
that's
curious.
100%. Those were all the items that I had for you tonight as we continue to work through the budget process. Our next, we have one budget meeting left on the schedule, and that will be to discuss the capital improvement project list.
Yeah, there it is.
Which is always a robust discussion as we have way more projects than we have budget for. But we'll bring you that prioritized list, and we'll work through that as to what we can potentially include for the next budget. And then that'll nail down the last piece. So again, if you have questions, please reach out to either myself or Sunil, and we'll walk you through any question about the really fine details. But that's all I had tonight, Mayor. I'm assuming I've kind of got the thumbs up to continue to run with what I presented.
Anybody have any concerns, or is the direction to go ahead and keep proceeding? And we've got more meetings in the future, but is everybody comfortable with what's been presented at this point? Staff can keep moving.
We'll keep massaging this and putting it all together for you.
Okay. Nicely done. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Okay, that brings us to the end of this meeting. So unless anybody has anything else specific, I will ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you. Can I get a second?
Second, Mayor.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, we stand adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.